a really good point. Welcome to The Accredited, powered by 10th Year Seniors here on Guardian Radio. I'm Ronaldo. Sorry, Guardian Radio 96.9. I'm Ronaldo, and that fault was because I just realized mid-sentence, I only listened to clips 3 times this morning doing my workout, and I usually get it up to 4 listens for the whole album. It's only 40 minutes each.
It would kind of be struggly because, as you can see, there's branding all around here.
You really cannot miss the 96.9 at any point sitting here in the studio.
And I'm John Mark, and apparently I have Ricardo's job today, so if you'd like to join the conversation...
There you go.
You can call us on 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259, toll free at 242-300-5720, or you can text us at 422-GR96. That's 422-4796.
That is some professionalism. That, you know what? I'm not just being prisoner of the moment. I really believe you did that better than Cardo does it. We may have to restructure the team.
We're not restructuring the team.
All right.
You know what they always say? It's like the backup quarterback is always like
The most popular person in town.
Yeah. So, you know, I came in, I did my job, and that's that.
They made an entire series off that. Blue Mountain State. You should go watch it. It was amazing. What's the lead this week? I feel like we are still on, well, if you're talking about the 10YS platform, still on an emotional high from everything that happened during a very active MLB All-Star weekend for everyone from the Bahamas. I mean, we talked about the preview last week, but now we actually got to see things play out. And of course, we're going to start at the Home Run Derby. Of course, we're going to start with what that meant. And I always say Jazz and anyone in his position, the representation is the most important thing. Yeah, okay, if you're watching that, there's no getting around it. Of course, the result isn't what you want. Nobody wanted to hit 3 home runs. Nobody wanted him to finish last in the field. Of course not. But the problem I had with a lot of the rhetoric that I've seen about it is, how do you think that that's the most important thing?
I don't know, because did you see how the other people were hitting the ball? Like, I'm just saying, like, they were, it's just going to say, they were bigger and stronger than Jazz. Yeah. Let's just put it that way. Like, you had 6'7", 6'5", 6'3".
And my question to that is, who didn't know that going in?
Me.
Okay, who else didn't know that going
no.
in?
No, okay, yeah, you don't want the 3 home runs. You were thinking he was going to put something up, but that's not the point of it. The point of it is you realize that that is a commercial for the Bahamas.
Constantly.
For the next 10 minutes of whatever it is, right? What do some people say? All press isn't bad press. Jazz was all over the... Like, you couldn't even tell who won the Derby because everyone's like, oh, let's go get on Jazz. But at the same time, it's like he was put in a position. He went... He started making fun of it because he was just like, I'm just there to have fun. Like, and that's the whole point. This is what people need to realize. This is about having fun. The All-Star, you want to call it in the MLB, is about having fun. So he had his judge there. Judge there was joking with him, saying, keep hitting those singles. Keep hitting those singles. Yeah. After his interview, you could see that it meant nothing to him that he hit 3 home runs because he was there talking about what the moment was.
And that's what it was about, right? And that's the part that I wanted to get to for everyone that was butthurt about this kind of thing. His reaction, I think, kind of stifled a lot of that because he gave voice to it actually before, if you paid attention to the articles that came on, the interviews that he did, and even after the fact. So it wasn't just him shifting because of the result. He was saying this before. Look, I know where the expectations are, but this moment is about so much bigger than me. This moment is about sharing this stage with Jaron.
It's a journey.
Who was close to him his entire life, especially a big part of his baseball journey. It's about that. It's about someone from the Bahamas and everything you had to go through to get to that point here, being on this stage and sharing it with someone like that. That's what it was about.
The way you have to look at it is this. You need to, there's like 2 scenarios you have to look at, maybe even 3 scenarios you have to look at. You ask Jazz at Freedom Farm, if you have a chance to do the Home Run Derby, would you do it? The answer is going to be yes, right? Now, let's say he gets to high school. You say, would you still do the Home Run Derby knowing you're only going to hit 3 home runs? The answer is probably going to be yes.
Yes,
because it's still going to be yes. It's the stage. And then when you get to the where he is, it just happens. Like, you got to remember, sports is something where everything isn't going to go your way. Who won the Home Run Derby?
Cal Raleigh.
How did he get into the next round?
By an inch.
By an inch. That's what it is, because it could have been someone completely different who won the home run derby that day. It could have been Rays. What's his name? He was in the final, right?
Junior Caminero.
Yeah. Oh, he got a nice swing, though. I'm not going to lie.
He's really
like,
good.
Like, I know, he's really good. I thoroughly enjoyed, because it was just a simple, not mechanical, and he would just...
There's not much torque into it, yeah. But it's still really effective. It's what they call like an easy swing. Yeah. No, he's really good. So, and also, it's only his second year in the league.
Also, yeah, remember, there's only one winner.
There's only one winner. Also, y'all don't even remember who's been winning the home run derby. And you know, we have proof positive of that, because 10th year seniors went and did the research.
We did some research.
Because we were like, you know what? Everyone and the media, social media, they were getting on Jazz about this because Jazz hit 3 home runs. Mm-hmm. So we went deep into the lab and we said, you know what? Let's look up some other less than noteworthy home run derby performances and see if this actually sticks into the minds of people and affects the way you look at them differently.
So let's go back to the year 1990.
It was such a great year. The Giants won the Super Bowl. The Pistons won their second title. I was 5. A lot of great stuff happened in 1990.
All-Star Game at Wrigley Field.
All-Star Game at Wrigley
Field. What an historic, iconic baseball stadium.
Before you even get to the numbers, John, can you just give me some of the people that were in this home run derby? See if there were names that would conjure memories in the minds of baseball fans.
We had the likes of Daryl Strawberry.
Hall of Famer.
Bobby Bonilla.
Hall of Famer.
Cecil Fielder.
Hall of Famer.
Niles Boy, Jose Canseco.
Should be a Hall of Famer.
And the original kid. Ken Griffey Jr.
Super Hall of Famer, if that's a thing.
That was, and it was Sandberg. What was his
name? Ryan Sandberg.
Ryan Sandberg and Mark McGwire.
Hall of Famers.
So
up and down that list.
That was the lineup.
And who won?
I think there was one more in there, but it doesn't matter. Enough.
And who won that home run derby, John?
None of them who you would expect.
The winner of that home run derby, and you heard some of the greatest in MLB history. Winner of that derby, Ryan Sandberg.
Now, let's go in to the amount of home runs.
How much did Ryan Sandberg hit to win it?
3.
3 home runs from Hall of Famer Ryan Sandberg and beat that list of names.
Now, here's the most surprising part. How many home runs do you think Ken Griffey hit?
Well, I cheat and I know the answer. But nobody would expect what you're about to say, though.
0.
Not a single home run.
This is
run
where
from
we
Ken
need
Griffey
the Daryl Miller 0.
Yes.
Thing. How much did Jose Canseco have?
People would expect an amazing number, but he had
0.
Jose Canseco, simply only known for 2 things. One of them is home runs. The other one is, you know, popularizing
Cecil
steroids
Fielder.
In baseball. Huge guy.
0.
Big time home run hitter. 0.
Bobby Bonilla, who gets paid every July 1st $1 million from the Mets.
My hero.
0. Daryl Strawberry. Mm-hmm. 0. And let's just say that's just one. Mike Piazza was in the home run derby in 1993 and 1994.
Hall of Famer.
How many home runs did he hit?
Surely it had to be at least 20.
Yeah, minus 20, and it was 0 for both years.
So, I mean, we say all that to say.
I got to keep going down.
Oh, keep going. You got more.
Gary Sheffield.
Oh, yeah. He's here a lot.
One of the most violent swings.
Everybody used to impersonate that swing when we were kids.
0 home runs in 1996.
0 home runs from him.
Yeah, Boston Sheffield. Red Sox legend, Nomar Garciaparra.
Oh, Nomar had to do the job. Nomar.
Now, Nomar and Jazz probably are similar built.
Similar, yes.
Yeah, I mean.
Nomar's still a little bigger.
Yeah, he's taller. 0 home runs.
Interesting.
Jim Thome.
Jim Thome.
This is
500 home runs in his career.
0. And the most recent one who actually makes a difference, 2012, Robinson Cano.
Robinson Cano.
And he was a Yankee at the time.
Legend. Dominican legend.
0. All those guys had 0 in a home run derby.
We say all that to say, before y'all judge Jazz's 3 home runs and think that this is somehow an everlasting impact on how we will be viewed, you don't look at anyone on that list differently. And they hit 0 home runs in the home run derby. So y'all be easy on my boy. Anyway, the regular season is back rolling again. So now Jazz is going to get back to hitting him when it counts. And like he said.
Not at the Braves Park.
But like he said, hey, I just got back into the rhythm. I know why I did this home run derby. But at the same time, I'm managing things because my swing in the second half of the season is very important. It's so important. It's one of the most important things in terms of the Yankees finishing the job. Vital he is to be in that lineup.
But, okay, I feel... So Jazz went from the Marlins, right? A franchise, dark times. In shambles.
Surprisingly, not as bad not as people right would now. Think that they were supposed to be.
Yeah, no, no, no. I'm not talking about this. I'm talking about when he was there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The leadership, it was all out of whack, right?
Terrible.
But then this is what always happens with the Marlins. They end up selling it, getting new leadership. They end up doing really well. They made the playoffs with Jazz 2 times. You know what I'm saying? Like, so there are times you make it. But I feel Jazz is to the point in his career now where he realizes, A, arbitration's super duper real. And I'm going to have to make sure that I do what I got to do to win if I go to arbitration, to win my cases. Because remember the Marlins and him, it was a $300,000 like scuffle that they didn't want to pay him.
That was a big deal then.
Yeah, and what do you think that does to a player? Like, okay, you don't have no confidence in me. Like, what's going on? But I feel that now that he's had, and I don't want to put the Chris Paul thing in, now that he's had the taste of the World Series. Now that he's been there, he knows what it takes to get there. He knows what he has to improve on. So his goal is probably going to be, yeah, I need to have X amount of base hits as opposed to trying to go for home runs. Like, because that's what you watch the series. Those little things are what's going to win the World Series.
There's a lot of time that he has to protect Judge in the lineup.
Yeah.
Like that. And speaking of the World Series, you know what Jazz did when he was there? He hit a home run. Hmm. Hit some when it counts.
Yep.
Let's go back to...
He should have played center field that time, though.
Should have played center.
Yeah.
That was tough. But then Judge is bouncing back with, like, another one of his Hall of Fame seasons. So, yeah.
But he's not center field anymore.
Yeah, I know. But psyche. The mental thing. All right, so another part of All-Star Weekend was, of course, Sebastian Walcott in the Futures game. And we've said several times, and we're going to keep saying it, yeah, he's the next one coming up. But to have both of them there on the stage during MLB All-Star Weekend, the significance of that really shows you.
I mean, Jaron was there. So where baseball was going. We had a bunch of, say what you want to say. Like, we always say it's about the moment. Jaron pitching at that moment is a big deal. It's not this is just so-and-so doing it. It's like, Jazz took someone.
I'm bringing the story with me.
Yeah.
I'm bringing the story.
He took someone with him that's been with him his whole, and that's what it is. It's the
So, remember when he said, if he has 20 home runs at the break, he's going to do it again next year.
Yeah.
Breaking news. Guess who catching?
I mean, he should have been catching this year.
He should have been catching this year.
Because when I saw your boy had his brother out there at 15 years old, who's like 6'7", giant kid.
He's got to be from the Dominican.
I am 12.
He's from the Dominican.
That kid is... It ain't normal.
So next year, we have a very specific thing that we're rooting for. Yes, we want Jazz personally.
Where's the All-Star game next year?
I don't even know. I don't know where it is. But wherever it is, we need Jazz to be back in the Home Run Derby next year because... Kaizen's going to catch, and that means we will be there. And that means work, but then also
shenanigans. Work? No, I'm getting the friends and family.
And also shenanigans, but you completely...
Philadelphia.
I like Philly.
Oh, with VJ.
I like... Huh? 2-for-1.
VJ's coming to the game, too?
2-for-1.
Look at that.
Look at God. Look at how he works. All right, so I want to shift away from the MLB to shift...
We really didn't talk about Sebastian, though.
We did.
Well, before we go, there was an interview on Twitter that we saw... And it reiterates the stuff that we spoke about on one of our last podcasts that you could catch on our YouTube channels about how important Jazz is to the younger players and how Sebastian...
Representation mattering.
And this is where the black crab syndrome ain't there. Whereas Sebastian could rely on Jazz for anything if he actions or, you know, just to say, hey, what's up, man? I'm in a cold streak. You know, what did you do in the situation? People don't realize how important that is.
The importance of that, that's also part of the reason why Jaron was there in that position, because Jazz is like, this is a person who I lean on. But absolutely right. So there was a moment that I thought about this, right? You notice whenever, you saw it when O'Neill Cruz was hitting. You saw it when Caminero was hitting. All of the Dominicans, no matter what team they play for, no matter if they American League or National League, they use that as a bonding moment because they're like, we are from this small country. We're here on this stage. Baseball is our thing. And we are going to display this camaraderie on the world stage. You don't think Bahamians won that at some point?
That could be us next year.
There's no way any of those players want to be the only one. Because you got to look at that and think that no matter the generation that they're from, the through line is baseball is the thing that gets us here.
Yep.
So if you can have, obviously for us, it's going to have to start small. I mean, we start with Jazz, but then you have a Sabas in the pipeline. You have others coming up in the pipeline. It's a very real possibility that we could be doing the same thing just at a smaller scale. So yes, of course, the representation matters. And I'm interested to see how quick Walcott gets the call. That's the thing that we got to be watching.
I think he's opening day roster next year.
Next year, yeah.
I don't see him getting called up to get put back down.
Unless something disastrous happens with the Rangers exactly. 40 man.
Yeah, you're not going to hope for anything. But you're just going to say, unless two players get hurt, unfortunately, and they have to bring them up. Because once they bring them up, That's they ain't putting them back down.
We know how manipulating service time is very important to MLB franchises. All right, we got 10 minutes left in this half. I want to go on to the WNBA. I want to move on to JJ. JJ is on the way back. She will be back on the 22nd after WNBA All-Star Weekend. We're so used to her competing in the game. Yeah, but she did not just in the game, but in the three-point contest, in the skills challenge. JJ is always doing something, but remember when we were talking about all-star votes and we said maybe she should still get an honorary all-star spot because you won't see how important she is until she has to sit down. Oh,
she's super important.
The Liberty turned into a completely different team. Struggled every single night. So for as good as Sabrina Ionescu is, for as good as Breonna Stewart is, yes, she don't shake your head like that. I know what
you're going to say. For as good as Natasha Cloud's been.
For as good as any of them have been, without the linchpin of that team, both offensively and defensively, by the way. Liberty just ain't the same team.
You know what? Okay, so the Liberty reminds me of the Phoenix Suns when Aiden was playing. Mm-hmm. You don't realize how important they are until they're not there. And when I mean they're not there is when she's on the bench hurt. Because you could see how much the team is struggling because they don't have the real inside press. Like, JJ is, as good as she is shooting a three-pointer, she's still old school, big.
She's got a, you know what it
she could play on
of?
The block.
The way they run the offense through her is kind of like what the Nuggets do with Jokic. The same way how she can get it at the high post, and then they, whether it's backdoor cuts, whether it's some kind of motion, but anything is predicated on the decision she makes with the ball. She's the best decision maker with the ball, I think, that roster has. And you really saw it because they were world beaters. I think they won the first 9-10 games of the season.
Yeah, they were 9-1 or 10-1.
They were blowing people out.
They lost three games last year?
It was looking crazy easy. They looked like they were going to be better than they were last year. And then all it took was injury to JJ, look very mortal.
Mm-hmm.
But when she comes back, and I didn't want, they did rush her back after she tweaked the ankle the first time.
We got to get us to the playoffs and let us deal with that.
Just get to the playoffs. Like, any kind of home court, any of that other stuff, just get to the playoffs, and that's all we want to see. But this is not the same Liberty team. Chances to repeat, what are you thinking?
I mean, I think they'll make the semifinals. And then from there, it's a coin toss. And it all depends because we know Minnesota is good, right? We know Indiana is good when Caitlin is playing. Like that to me is the dark horse. Like, you don't want to face them in the first round of the playoffs.
You know the thing about Indiana that's really dangerous though? The games in Caitlin Clark was sidelined. They
won the Commissioner's Cup.
They were winning some important games. They beat Minnesota without her. And I think that's when people were like, oh, so what is this gonna look like when she's back in the fold? So that's a very that's one of those ones where people this year, but you really saw it when Caitlin Clark was sidelined. So yes, the Liberty and their chase for the WNBA title will the chase for a repeat title. And I think it's gonna be clear that JJ is the WNBA Finals MVP again if they do happen to get to
that
point.
So someone just texted in, if the Liberty can win without JJ, that means they don't necessarily need her. Agreed, but they're not winning without JJ. Like, we already know that if JJ doesn't play, they are not winning. I would say that they're not even going to get far in the playoffs. I mean,
they will win games in the micro, but we're talking about winning at a macro level. Because when you're a championship contending or a championship winning team, winning the regular season games does not matter at all. So when we say winning in the sense, we mean winning in the grand scheme of things. They were what, 3-6 with her or 4-6 without her? That is not.
They're 15-6 right now. I'm looking at the standings, and the next two are the Mercury and Storm, and the Fever are 12-11. But like I say,
they're not going to do long-term major winning
without her. They're not winning a championship without her.
If you remove a finals MVP from basically any team, WNBA or and see how good those teams are.
And then they say Caitlin Clark would be the MVP when she returns. She's a beast. I agree. I think Caitlin Clark's going to win MVP. Even though she was hurt for those a couple of games, I just think that the numbers she puts up are stupidly insane.
I think Nafisa Collier is still going to win it.
Yeah.
I think.
You think because of the injury? I mean, I think.
The Fever would have to finish as the first or second seed for Caitlin Clark have to win MVP.
They have to go over the over the Liberty to do it.
Yeah.
I felt like, to me, Caitlin is more of the Russell Westbrook type season.
Right. So for you to, and think Russell Westbrook had to have historic, these numbers are probably never going to happen anytime soon for me to win MVP as a fourth seed. So I think it'll come from one of the top two seeds. I think Nafisa Collier is the favorite to win that. And she's putting up the numbers to support it.
Yeah. And also, if we see how that WNBA voting went and they had her as the ninth best player. In.
Well, the media decides. The media is going to decide who wins the awards. It's not about the players deciding
that. Let me see what her stats are, because that's now I'm interested to see exactly what she's averaging.
But she's also missed a considerable amount of time.
But that's the thing. So missing the time. When you miss, it's not like in the NBA you can miss 7 games out of 82. When you miss 7 games out of 44, you're missing. That's a big chunk of the season.
That's a big chunk of it. And then talking about numbers, and to take it back to JJ, the numbers don't blow you away when you look at it.
No, 16-5-8. That's what she's averaging.
That's Caitlin. That ain't no MVP.
No.
But the JJ numbers are 13-9. But I think you really got to watch them to see what that impact is. And like looking at their numbers as a team when she's not there is the thing that really shows you.
We're like, oh, JJ shouldn't have won MVP. Like some people.
Who said that?
American people.
I was about to say who?
American media are nemesis.
They didn't watch a single. Some of them.
Yeah.
Malika Andrews.
But Taylor, all I'm saying.
Taylor Rooks.
All I'm saying is.
Joy Taylor.
Yeah. Well, Joy Taylor is a free agent now, so.
Guardian Radio 96.9.
But, yeah, no, my take is you could just see how important JJ was or is, because you take out the finals last year, they completely lose. They lose and they get. I feel like they get swept. Like, that's how big of a difference JJ is. Like, yeah, Stewie was putting up 30-point shooting, 5-for-85 in the series.
Missing free throws
to be able to ice the game.
Layups.
It's just like, nah, JJ is the most important person on the Liberty team, and they know that.
And also the most decorated Bahamian basketball player of all time.
Hall of Famer.
If we were to do a draft, which we will do, I was gonna have us do it this week, but Carter's not here. But we will do it next week. We are gonna do a draft because of what we talk about.
Rick Fox is going number one for Carter.
So that was gonna be my segue for what we are going to talk about in the second half when we come back from the break. I want to talk about Bleacher Report. Then we're gonna do our Bahamian version.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Always on the go? Missed a show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com, the podcast app. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
It's time to upgrade the way you enjoy at-home entertainment. Alive Fiber is here. Enjoy all your favorite channels and streaming apps, all at lightning fast internet speeds with affordable bundles. And it's only a click away. Visit www.alivefiber.com to sign up now. Stay connected. Live your life. It's good to be alive.
Winning on the court, just like investing, is about consistency and having the right partner. With RF's Advantage Plus brokerage account, you get exclusive access to high return securities, some yielding up to 7%, plus expert investment guidance. No need to chase every opportunity. We deliver priority trading, exclusive investments, and the lowest commissions, so you can focus on what matters most. Sign up for an RF Advantage Plus brokerage account today at rfgroup.com. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
Welcome back to the Accredited, powered by 10th Year Seniors here on Guardian Radio 96.9. I'm Ronaldo, and the wheels are already, we haven't even properly started yet. We were just doing a pre-show meeting, mid-show meeting.
Mid-show meeting.
Yeah.
I'm John Mark, and I feel like my list would be completely different because I'm a real basketball enthusiast in the Bahamas. But if you want to join us...
When's the last time you've been to a night league game?
I went to the bar league thing last week.
Daiko.
I mean...
That's new.
And new things. But if you want to join us, you could call us at 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, or toll free at 242-300-5720, or you can text us at 422-GR96. That's 422-4796.
What a show for Cardo to miss. So the good folks at Bleacher Report, a fine, fine platform, fine establishment, one of the most trusted names in sports news, somebody that I have always followed closely and tend to pattern the 10YS platform behind.
Why reinvent the wheel?
I mean, I love Bleacher Report. It's July, and we all know, everybody that does sports content talks about how slow July is.
Boy.
It's very difficult to even muster up some sort of content to get people going. What always gets people going? Arguing the past against the present, because those in the business are what we call evergreens.
But that's like the time when we did the 2017 versus 2019 U17 national team.
Yep.
Like, not even a...
Evergreens, it doesn't matter, because what will that always do? It'll get the people going. So Bleacher Report always does this, and they produce their list of the top 100 NBA players of all time. No secret in who number
LeBron?
One and two are going to be. Number one was Michael Jordan. Which, there's no debate anymore. If you say LeBron's one, that's fine. This is all subjective. LeBron was two. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was three. Let's put a pin in it there. And that I like that, because that is my legit top three. Those are the top three that I always say. I always put Kareem in the top three, because I feel like, I mean, he's won at every level. Dominant force for 20 years.
I heard about this was something in 11.
And here is the big news. And this is where the news came from. Not Jordan being one, not LeBron being two, not Kareem being three. But the big news in this was that Kobe Bryant came in at 11. And it was so interesting to see people weigh in on this discussion. You had people who played in the NBA. You had people in other sports weighing in on this discussion. Whether Kobe Bryant really deserved to be rated at 11, or should he be higher? I'm going to go first on this one. I feel like it was accurate. Listen, being the 11th best player of all the people that have played basketball in the history of the NBA, if you top 11, that is an honor, and his fans should take that as such. That is an honor. There's nothing wrong with being ranked 11. Because, I mean, when you look at the people that are on that list, when you look at the people that are in the top 10, yes, you can make the arguments, but that is what they make all of these lists for.
Yeah, I'm looking at the list right now, right? And it's dominated by centers. Right? Like Bill Russell, Will Chamberlain, Tim Duncan is a power forward. So then you get Steph Curry at 10, right?
This is what a lot of people had a problem with.
And Steph Curry will say, is he a point guard?
Yeah.
So we're going to go with Steph Curry at a point guard. What are we going with LeBron at?
A three. Yeah.
Okay. Forward. So Jordan is the best. They have Jordan as the best, right?
Yeah.
Shooting guard. So the next shooting guard that comes on the list is Kobe at 11.
Yeah.
Which ain't a problem. I mean, this is going to be a terrible segment because if Carter or someone's on the line, let's
which
see.
Which is fine because he's the second best shooting guard of all time.
Let's see.
What did you do, John?
I don't know.
Okay.
Hello? I think I broke it.
Good morning.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, good morning. How are you doing?
We're good. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I listened to you all. Kobe had ranked when he retired an all-time scoring leader? You know where he was? He was fourth on the list.
Mm-hmm.
When he retired. And you're trying to tell me now that he is the 11th best player in NBA history?
Well, Bleacher Report is trying to tell us that.
I mean, I heard you said that you agree.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because I feel like when you get to this point and you're talking about the greatest players of all time, everyone is going to have a legitimate argument in the conversation. We're basically going to be parsing and splitting hairs between greatness. Like, that's the part about this, why when you produce these lists, the content creators will always win. Because, of course, there are arguments to be made. Whether you think...
Yeah, but when, upon the time when he retired, if he was the fourth all-time leading scorer in NBA history.
Right. But if we only base it on that, then no one should be refuting that LeBron's number one then, because he's active.
No, scorer. I mean, when you look at teams, Kobe played for one team for 20 years. When you look at Jabbar would have played for two, right? Magic would have played for one. But LeBron was all over the place, chasing.
It's still stats, the same basket. I don't want to say it's padding stats because he went to the NBA Finals 10 times.
But now I'm a Laker.
Okay.
So I'm not no LeBron hater.
Okay.
I'm a Laker.
I got you, but the point you were making is that Kobe had X amount of points. My only rebuttal to that was, if we're only talking about points, then there should be no debate who number one is, because number one in points is still actively
winning. No, I'm only trying to establish that upon the time he retired, he was better than seven of those other players who are on those lists.
But he said
they ain't like they surpassed him, you know.
Right. But I also don't think scoring more points necessarily automatically means you're better than someone else, because who had the record before LeBron took it? That was called.
No, but he also won five championships. I mean, if you're talking greatness and who is the best, for me, I would say Will Chamberlain.
And he's
Will Chamberlain holds 78 out of 82 NBA records.
And he's not in the top 10.
No,
he's number nine.
That's basically my point.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, 78 NBA records, many of which will never be broken. But yet, he is down to the bottom. But then I guess I never saw Will Chamberlain play, you know, and I guess it's based on that too, because many of us never saw him play. But when you really look at it, when you're talking 100 points, 50-something rebounds, all this other stuff, those will never be broken.
No, I'm looking at the stats right now, right? 30 points a game, 22.9 rebounds a game, 4.4 assists. Now, for a big man, that's crazy. And 54% shooting. Like, his stats are insanely great. It's just that they're always going to say that
he's at the bottom of the list, basically.
I wouldn't say nine would be at the bottom, because the person in his era who they consider the most dominant force in his era, Bill Russell, is ranked at number five, and in 13 seasons won 11 championships, and going head to head against Wilt in a lot of those, and the Celtics getting the edge over Wilt, whether he was with the Warriors or whether he was with the 76ers, that'll always give Russell the edge over him. But even, I mean, you can make, yes, of course, you can make the argument for Wilt being higher, but having Shaq at six, there's always an argument for people to be made on that list. I don't think nine is
no way possible. Kobe Bryant would rank number 11 all time. No, that's just insane. Not only did he score, he dished out assists. He played both ends of the court, offense and defense. Defense, I mean, when you look at it, I can't see them putting Kobe at number 11, but that's a Kobe hater probably. Those writers are Kobe haters, you know.
All right.
But I would look at Kobe. I would look at Kobe in the top four, and I basically that's just me, you know. But my opinion don't really matter. But I would have Kobe at number at four.
Of course,
and no one else.
No one else.
You know, other than those names like Jabbar, Magic, etc. But other than that. That number 11 is insane.
All right. Thank you for your call. We'll discuss it some more. Yeah, the great thing about establishing a list and just putting it out there is to create these kind of arguments. So I'll just give a brief rundown of who you had in the top 10. We mentioned the top three. Of course, you had Jordan at the top, LeBron second, Kareem third, and then at four. The problem is when you say someone doesn't belong, then you got to take someone out, right? You have, oh, we got a caller? All right, go ahead to the call.
Hello.
Hello, can you hear us?
Hey, you get on the show?
Yeah, you're on.
Okay, yeah. Back with the gentleman saying about Kobe. I think 11, a little too far off for him as well because like he was 9-time defensive first team, 5 championships. The two guys, Paul Gasol and Shaq, mainly Shaq, who they say carry him for the first 3 championships, however, Kobe closed out all them games. Remember when Shaq got fouled and all of that? You understand what I'm saying?
I wouldn't say he closed out all of them. He closed out the one where Shaq got fouled. He didn't close out all of them.
All of them, man. Shaq can't hit free throw. So he didn't close out the game.
A lot of them weren't that close to need him to hit
that. Robert Ory.
You gotta look at the eye test as well. Like,
agreed.
Jordan, right? Everybody could remember the CM of the Chicago Bulls intro, right? The sound of dun 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 dun. And they call out his name and
one of the greatest songs ever.
That's the historic. He didn't know sports, no franchise, basketball, football, whatever. Have that type of epic feeling at the beginning of a game. Showcase the talent of an individual player. You understand? When you see that intro come on, you know it is over. So it's the feeling, it's the eye test. Like LeBron, I don't feel up the same feeling as Kobe and Jordan when it comes to that aura.
Yeah, but he's number two. I don't even think we could have the discussion around him. I think one and two are solid. My question is, who do we take out of this top 10 if we're going to put Kobe into it? Because, okay, so I stopped at 3 at Kareem. 4 was Magic. 5 is Bill Russell. 6 is Shaq. 7 is
Shaq said Kobe better than him.
Agreed.
Tim Duncan said Kobe better than him.
7 is
Kobe
Duncan.
Kobe obviously better than Curry.
8 is Larry Bird. 9, 10 is Steph Curry.
I feel like it's a Steph Curry thing that are getting people.
But I think that's also...
He's the greatest shooter of all time.
I think people are having trouble with that one just because his story is still being written.
Yeah, and that's one side of the court. You don't play no defense. Understand? 9-time first team defense. That's Kobe Bryant.
But so you talked about the impact of Jordan and that song. There are very few people that have ever impacted the game of basketball the way Steph Curry did. Steph Curry totally changed the math on basketball. Steph Curry impacted the way an entire generation plays now. At 6'3", 6'4". So his influence may outweigh almost anybody else on the list when you look at the way basketball is played now. That's
also the Bleacher Report always back and forth though. Kobe is the player of the decade.
Yeah.
So if he was the player of the decade, overall, how you get behind all of them?
So
if he was the player of the decade,
just in this list,
you understand?
His highest ranking, it was 2018. I think they did this, and
exactly.
It was number 4.
Yeah.
So he was number 4 then, and then it changes.
Exactly.
But this is the whole thing
that's why it's beautiful.
But
it's going to get us talking.
What I'll say about this is, and let me know if you agree with this caller.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan's the number 1 shooting guard, right?
Yes.
Kobe's the number 2 shooting guard.
Yes.
So it's still that order. It's just they changed where he sits in just the rankings in general. But I don't think you could ever change, because if it's Jordan 1 and Kobe's 15, then there should be no shooting guard.
The thing about it also is the thing what happened with Kobe and that rape case thing, that pissed a lot of people off, the reporters and certain people like that, right? And the guy actually said, it gives him great regret to say this, that the person of the decade is Kobe Bryant. If you read the report, he say that with great regret. What you regretting?
I mean,
the player great, he great. How are you regretting saying the player great writing this report? Yeah. You understand? Like they always hating on him, not a man dead. And all this foolishness coming up now, they trying to push him way back down. And he was always in top five. But always in top five. You look at any sports, all the old sports commentary and all that. When Kobe was playing, every announcer, everybody, Kobe is top five. Kobe is top five from a long time.
All right.
All would change now.
What change?
See, that's dead. That's all would change.
Thank you for the call. We'll discuss some more. Appreciate it. Yeah, I think that also works both ways, though, because sometimes when we think about it, when there's an early death, and I mean early in terms of his life, I think that also, not just in sports, we've seen it happen in music. You've seen it happen in politics, every aspect of life. I think that works both sides. So it's not that people are forgetting. I don't think that's what it is. I think number one, content creation is meant to get people talking, and then I think there was a greater, going back to what the first caller said, I think there's now more people revisiting Will Chamberlain and looking at him.
Are they finding lost tapes?
I think there's more appreciation to what he did. Larry Bird is always going to be in the conversation.
Yeah.
Like, there's never...
The only person who could dethrone Larry Bird is Cooper Flagg.
But I honestly don't know where you would go with this, because I like the fact that Tim Duncan is now getting the kind of appreciation that I feel like he always deserves, because I thought he was the best player of that generation. I thought that was Tim Duncan's decade. I didn't think it was Kobe's decade.
So let me read the text. If Kobe Bryant retired in the 2000s and LeBron James has added significantly more stats since then, it's only natural LeBron would be ranked higher now.
But nobody is making this a Kobe versus LeBron thing. I don't think that's what this should be, because it's clear that you have Jordan, LeBron, and then everyone else.
Yeah.
So this is not a Kobe LeBron argument, and I don't want to turn it into that, because I don't feel like
Rick Fox on the list?
He's going to be on the Bahamian list when we bring the Bahamian list next week. But I don't want to make this a Kobe and LeBron thing, because they're in two different stratospheres right now.
My thing is, people's opinions are always going to change with, like I say, timing and everything. And we know that Steph Curry changed the game as is, right? Where everyone wants to shoot a three-pointer. Everyone feels like they could play basketball now because they could shoot a three. But I also think Kobe changed the game when it came to shoes. Like, that's a big part of the game.
Low tops?
Just the Kobe low tops in general, like that actually. No, you know, how much players are wearing Kobe's?
They would be wearing Nikes. Yeah. But you know what? You know who had the most popular shoe is KD's, and then Paul George.
Kyrie Irving has some.
I know, and Kyrie is. So what do all them have in common? It's Nike, bro.
It's Nike.
Like, I mean, I get it. And this is not, listen.
But that's what Kobe's legacy is going to live on forever with his shoes.
He's ranked higher on the list than Hakeem Olajuwon. You don't think people would be making the argument for Hakeem to be ranked higher? He's ranked higher than Kevin Durant. There's ranked higher than Oscar Robertson. Obviously, there are no slouches on the list. These are the greatest players of all time, especially when you get down to talking 10 and 11, that kind of thing. It's just interesting that was the place where people choose to, you know, stick that pitchfork in the ground and make the argument. I like Steph Curry being rated at 10. I think it shows Bleacher Report really being progressive in their thinking, because people tend to not appreciate what they're seeing in the moment. We have a tendency to need to see the entire thing be done before we can say, yeah, this was really good, or this is one of the greatest things that I've ever seen. No, you can see something in real time and be able to appreciate that and be able to say that. So, yeah, you got two active players in the top 10, and deservedly so, right?
Yeah, and the thing is, this list is going to change all the time. This list will be different next year if they did it.
They have to be working lists.
Yeah, and that's why you have to, I don't know if they bring this out every year, but you got to bring it out every couple of years, because you have to wait for, like, Anthony Edwards.
Yeah.
He's going to be on the list. I think it's every 5 years they bring the list out or something like that.
So, So ESPN does the top 100 actively for the season
every year.
And then Bleacher Report does all the time.
Yeah, that's something where if you actively do stats, because Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is probably going to be like number three.
Yeah, next year you got next
Anthony Edwards going to be like number two. Like, you already know, like, the stars of today are going to be up there in the list.
For the last 10 minutes or the last 9 minutes, do you want to preview our 10th year seniors top 100 Bahamian basketball players of all time?
No, because we have to do real research.
Off the dome. Off the dome, we know who's going number one.
Now, are we going to be including...
This is where the difficulty comes into the conversation.
Are we including the Klay Thompsons and the Eric Gordons?
I think once you... Okay, so those are two different situations. Mm. I think you... No, here's why they're different. You have to include Eric Gordon because he played with the Bahamas jersey. Klay didn't. So they're not in the same... I don't think they're in the same boat for me because...
But Klay had a flag after the championship.
That doesn't equate you to being a national team player. That's not the same. You shouldn't...
But that equates you to being Bahamian. I mean, he's Bahamian, though. Like, what are we going to do? Are we going to say, like, are you, like... Bahamian, like lineage Bahamian?
Well, these are the conversations that you're gonna have.
And this is why we can't have the list.
You have to have the list.
No, I'm saying this is why we can't make the list today, because we have to come up with the guidelines.
If Klay is on it, you're still not putting Klay number one.
No, but I'm just saying, is Klay gonna be on? Because then we have to start looking at the Naz Reeves, the Eric Mobley, the Evan Mobleys. Like, that's then all of a sudden it's like, how are we gonna now switch this list up? Because then where does VJ fall?
He's on the list.
Exactly.
No, he's on the list.
But it's like, you go through a list and we just have to figure out what criteria is. Because let's be real. Does making the NBA make you an automatic better player?
Yes. John, we make the criteria. The people at Bleacher Report make the criteria.
That's what I understand.
And so you just go and you argue it.
We have to come up with a thing.
Yeah.
And then... We almost have to be a collaborative effort with a bunch of media members, undisclosed.
Maybe one. We could talk to Amo.
Yeah. Undisclosed media members to be like, here's a...
There's only like 5 people in Bahamian sports media. What do you mean undisclosed? you're acting like we keeping this a big secret. It ain't a bunch
of us. It's still the 10YS list.
Yeah, it's still our list. We could confer with other people. Listen, we see in the greatest... We got to say we see in the greatest era right now. So if we... The top 10 is going to be littered with people that are active right now.
100%. And it's going to have college players in it.
Michael Thompson gets into the top 10.
Has to.
Yeah. Obviously, he gets into the top
10. Maybe 11.
He is not... You on your own. He is not going to be... Michael Thompson is not going to be 11. Michael Thompson is definitely going to be... He's going to be top 3, I think. He's going to be top 3.
Just for nostalgia or just...
No, I think based on numbers too, because before he went to the Lakers to save them from Bill Walton being the best backup center in the world to Robert Parrish. If you look at Michael Thompson's numbers with the Blazers...
Well, he had a 22-11 season and didn't make... He's the only big man ever, like, in NBA history to not make an all-star game with those numbers.
Ooh, imagine the argument we start in that in the Thompson house. Like, who gets ranked higher? I mean, Klay obviously got to be ranked higher, though. If Klay... See, this is a problem with Klay being on the list. If Klay is on the list, Klay leapfrogs a lot of people.
Yeah, but I mean... A lot of people. I feel like you have to put Klay in it. You have to. You cannot... And I'll keep going. I'll tell people, you really cannot tell Bahamas basketball story without the Thompson family. And Klay is in there just as much as Mikey. Like, that's just how I look at it. And then we also have the opinion with Klay because he's a friend of the program.
Sterling Quant's on the list. First drafted to play professional
about,
guy.
Lyndon. Cecil.
Yeah,
Rose.
The Rose family is going to be on the list. Cecil and Lyndon's going to be on the list. I mean, Lyndon outscored Michael Jordan in an Elite Eight game in Houston played in North Carolina.
This is going to be a very, very interesting list because we actually have a lot of people who are in the G League. Bennett was one step away from the NBA. That's why I'm saying, like, if you make the NBA, does that automatically make you better?
Yes.
See, that's where my list could differentiate. Because I feel like it's time and place.
Yeah. It's kind of... Okay, so that is a very limited fraternity, and once you get into that fraternity, it's kind of like making it obvious to everyone else, yeah, I'm one of the best 450 players at this in the world.
Particular time.
Yeah, that's...
So we had a text coming, Michael Thompson is the greatest Bahamian basketball player ever, the first foreign-born player to be drafted number one. So start with this. We're not saying he's not one of the best Bahamian basketballers.
Historical impact, of course. Of course. No question. Does that make him better than DeAndre Ayton? Does that make him better than Buddy?
You know what I feel? I know they're coming down here. We're going to see if Michael Thompson is going to be a part of our list. Like, to be a part of giving a vote. He's going to be the special guest.
I think he would tell you.
But this is the thing.
He would tell you that Klay had a better career than
No, and I'm not saying that. I just feel, okay, people go look at the list, right? And we understand. Yeah, we know a lot about basketball. But if we could somehow convince Michael Thompson to give us his list and be a contributor, literally in where these people fall, that's what we're going to work on. We're going to work on having Michael Thompson, Sweet Bells, as a contributor to this list. So now all of a sudden this list might come out at the end of the month.
No, we're doing this. We're doing this Saturday. This is actually, we're going to do it before that because we're doing it on our podcast. And then we will tell you about what happens on our podcast.
All right. When
we
come, I'm going to make a couple phone calls. And we're going to have to see if they can send us a text or an email with his list so he could be a contributor.
Yeah. Fine. We'll do that. I think 3Ounce definitely got to be on the list because basically creating this entire
Gonzaga
legacy in college basketball. His teams were the first ones.
That but was what about of, Peter Gill was his name?
Macaroni Gilkut. R.I.P. Peter Gilkut. Yeah, it's a whole
lot. There's a lot of people that you could look at it and say they were great at playing basketball.
Yeah, which is why we're only
going to... Me versus Prince Will?
Which is why we're only going to do 20.
Nah, you got to do 25. Can we do 52? No.
You can find 52?
I probably can.
I'm going to try and go that far. I also want to include the women on our list. That's going to be the difference between ours.
We're inclusive.
That's going to be the difference between ours and the Bleacher Report list. Our community is so small, we are going to include the women
on this list. So what we're doing is we're doing...
So telling you now, Jonquil Jones is top five.
Easy.
Might Jonquil be top Jones three. Is top five. JJ's probably top three. You know what? Yeah. JJ's top three.
Yeah. Like, ain't no question about that one. We're going by accolades plus stats.
The totality. Totality. There's not one particular thing that you can look to.
So, okay. Oh, this is going to make this more complicated, though.
It's supposed to be.
No, I understand that. It's supposed to be. All right. I got to start making some phone calls to the Thompson household to see if we can get Sweet Bells to give us his list as well.
Sure.
Are we going to send him we just have to send them what the details are and what we're looking for.
I'll write the article. That'll do it. That'll do it for this week on The Accredited. Next week's episode, Bahamian basketball players of all time.